Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today. Now, nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter of a tank of gas if you're lucky. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. Make the switch today, and if you do it today, you save an additional 50% off your first month. They use the same 5G network, same cell towers as the big carriers, and most families saving close to $1,000 a month. Just go to puretalk.com/Sean, that's Sean, S-E-A-N. Make the switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. Are you being influenced? Well, if you watched a blockbuster film in the last decade, well, then there's a chance it has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Now, here's the reality. The CCP may be running the largest influence campaign in history. Now, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, well, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP exerts control over some major studios. Don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. And for a limited time, you can watch the first 10 minutes for free when you go to the website HollywoodTakeover.com/Sean, S-E-A-N.
Day number 96.
Day 96 and 109 days since Joe Biden lied and promised he wouldn't abandon our fellow Americans and their families and military family members and green card holders, thousands of them. We have hundreds of Americans still there. And, of course, our Afghan allies. 106 days since he made the 109 days since he made the promise. 96 days. Last night, I was in Florida. I'm back in New York now. Sorry to say. I should have stayed there, never come home, ever. Maybe one day I will. But I got to meet, this was a very tough moment for me, actually. I got to meet two of the families that lost. Remember, we lost 13 military personnel at Kabul International Airport. And I looked at these families. They're lovely people, by the way. And they, I don't know how to explain it, except you just see it. You know it. You feel it. You sense it. It's a pain that for a mother and a father and a sister and a brother, that's not going to go away. It's going to be, it's indescribable. And it's so sad. And we were so honored that they came and were a part of this. And for me to meet them, and all I wanted to do, you know, was comfort them. There are no words that you can use that are going to do that except to say that we're so sorry. This should never have happened. It was so preventable. And we can never let this happen again. You know, I know that people don't like when I say, well, you know, Joe can start fixing this. I'll tell you how I'd fix it. I tell the Taliban, we're going to kick the living Adam Schiff out of you and bomb you into smithereens in every place we can unless you let us go in and take our fellow Americans home, including family members left behind from the military, and take home green card holders eligible to stay in the United States. They should be protected, too. And for the Afghan allies that they're assassinating every other day, yeah, we ought to take them to, they don't have to come to America necessarily, but we did promise them we'd get them the hell out of there. I don't know where to take them. There are countries that are willing to work with us, but we need to get them out because they're killing them. And women are back to being treated, you know, horrifically. It's pure evil. Women getting beaten in the streets. You have in the middle of the day, anybody found that had associated with the U.S., they're being assassinated right in the middle of the street. You know, we think all the time we have problems. You know, I've made this mistake throughout my life, and I'm always, you get shocked back into reality when you meet somebody that's really suffering, you know, somebody that lost their legs, their arms, sacrificing their lives for their country. What is so infuriating about this is everybody's turned the page. I'm not turning the page. I'm going to keep counting it down and keep counting the days and keep reminding people that we abandon our fellow Americans. That's not the country that I was taught we live in. You don't abandon your fellow Americans. And the worst part for these poor families is Joe could have easily withdrawn in May, which was the plan that Donald Trump had left him. He could have kept the cars, the Bagram Air Base. He could have gotten everybody out safely in March, April, May, June, July, while the Taliban was on the march. He should have been pushing them back, driving them back with drone strikes. He didn't do that either. He waited until they surrounded the perimeter of Kabul International Airport. They didn't even have a list of how many Americans were there, and they still don't. It's unbelievable. I met these families, and if any of them are listening, it was my honor to meet you all last night. I met a lot of law enforcement last night, too, and I feel bad for them. Look at what cops go through today. Who wants to be a cop today? Ron DeSantis spoke, and he said, yeah, we're going to give $5,000 next year to people of... And let me tell you, that is a brilliant deal. I'll tell you why. Because it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to train a New York City police officer. So you give them a $5,000 signing bonus. They're fully trained. They're ready to go to work. And it's a great deal for Florida. And you watch. These cops are going to take DeSantis up because I think they're also working out a way where they, let's say they're 5 years into the job, 10 years into the job, that they bring their pension with them. Or at least the years that they accumulated their pension, which would be great for the police. Anyway, it was a very special. I can't even mention all the special people I met last night, but it was an honor. Let me give you an update on the trial. The judge just slamming the media for their irresponsible reporting on the proceeding, you know, describing it as really quite frightening. We are now in day three of jury deliberations. People are asking me everywhere I go, well, why is it taking so long? And the answer is, I don't know. I just do know my experience with juries is it's foolhardy to think, guess what's going on, what's going through their mind. They had a lot of pages of instruction to go over. Now that the judge opened the door to lesser offenses, now you got a discussion of that. To me, it's a slam dunk case based on the law. If you look at Wisconsin law, if you feel your life is in jeopardy, imminent danger, if you feel that you're in imminent danger, a reasonable person would conclude you're in reasonable danger of being of serious harm, bodily harm being happening to you. Anyway, the Rittenhouse defense yesterday demanding the mistrial over the drone video. And now we have two mistrials, one with prejudice, one without prejudice, because the prosecutors ended up giving them a 3.6 megabyte version of their drone video from that night, while the version they kept for themselves had amounted to 11.2 megabytes. And they said the resolution of the file they received came in at 480 by 212 pixels, whatever the hell that means, I don't know. Compared to 1920 by 844 that the prosecution had. In other words, they had a much clearer version of the drone footage, and they withheld it from the defense, which is a violation of the law. And they only got it in the final days of the trial. The left keeps bringing injecting a race into the trial. We had Joy Reid sparking a fury over at MSDNC, calling Rittenhouse a Karen who uses male white tears to defend herself, himself from getting caught, and compares the teen to Justice Kavanaugh. This went viral, those comments by Joy Reid. And, you know, it's just outrageous because that's NBC News. And then NBC News gets even worse because... Then we found out earlier today, it looks like the jurors in the Rittenhouse trial are being subjected to intimidation. They're hearing the protesting. And anyway, the person doing the the jury was followed. Now, the jury's leaving every day in a bus. The bus's windows are covered so that the jurors do not see what's going on outside. Now, I got to imagine with all the noise out there that they're, and what led up to all of this is they're probably keenly aware of the pressure and the magnitude of the, what their verdict is going to be. And I think it's undue influence and undue pressure. I've really come to believe that you need a change of venue for these high-profile cases. I really believe that. It doesn't mean all pressure will be removed, but I think to have it in the community, it might be a better job. A jury of our peers would, I think, be represented anywhere in the United States, you know, or somewhere else in the state, maybe knowing state law, that might be more appropriate. Anyway, so the person doing the following was identified as a producer for NBC and MSDNC, and the judge presiding over the court, as now Judge Bruce Schrader is the guy in charge. Anyway, they claim to be affiliated with this national news outlet. They're following this bus with the jurors. Well, that would be viewed as an intimidation effort. Anyway, police suspect this person was trying to photograph the jurors. Now, these jurors are in a high-profile case. Emotions are running high. You have people swearing that they're going to have unrest if the verdict doesn't go their way. And all of a sudden, police suspect now that this producer is trying to take photographs of the jury. Oh, imagine if it was. Yeah, exactly. And the incident is being investigated. The judge in the case now has banned all NBC reporters from the courthouse due to what has happened here. They've been barred from the courtroom. And the producer stopped by the police after running a spotlight because he wanted to keep following the bus. So I don't know how that's ultimately going to end up. The Rittenhouse defense, though, this demand for a mistrial over the drone video, I think they've got a good case in terms of a mistrial again. And people say, well, why hasn't the judge ruled on the mistrial? Because both sides need to file motions to the judge that the judge will read their arguments. Because we know the judge had been admonishing the prosecution repeatedly. Like, for example, you know, this is law school 101. You don't bring, everybody knows for decades about Miranda and the right to remain silent. And you don't bring that up against a defendant and use it as something against. Well, why haven't you spoken out before this? Because you have the right to remain silent. And it was an inappropriate question there. So I do think the possibility of a mistrial is very high here, and a mistrial with prejudice, which would mean that Kyle Rittenhouse would never be retried on these charges. Anyway, the prosecution now not turning over the full resolution video until 2 days before closing arguments began. Well, that's withholding evidence by any definition and a violation of law, and it could have altered their entire approach to the defense of Kyle Rittenhouse. That's another reason for a mistrial. There's so many reasons for a mistrial. Anyway, the prosecution does this, and we'll see what happens over this drone video. I know there are people saying, you know, I think Greg Jarrett said it very well last night. There aren't any red flags, even though there's no verdict after 2 days. Now we're in day three. In other words, questions that could indicate what the jury is thinking. We really don't have that. They wanted to see more video. They asked for some. They wanted the jury instructions sent to them. They asked for more of the videos to be sent to them. They asked for the definition of the law to be clarified for them. This is all pretty standard, but it seems like they're going over every charge with great care. But now that there's a possibility of a lesser charge, now you got to go through the initial charges, then you got to go through the definition of other charges, and then you got to ultimately come to a decision. Could be a simple case that there's one or two holdouts. That's a possibility, too. And you could even end up with a hung jury here. I mean, you know, it's anybody's guess. Anybody that says they know is lying. They don't know. The only people that know are the people that are in that jury room. And I don't think I'd want to be one of them today, because I think there's an awful lot of pressure. There's a lot of, you know, it's a big sacrifice for people to do this. There's a reason everybody wants to get out of jury duty. It's not a bad reason. By the way, if you work for me, apparently it's very easy. Because everybody that works for me, what do? I work on the Sean Hannity show. I work on Hannity's TV show. You're dismissed. It happens every single time. They're dismissed instantly. There's not even a question. I work for Sean Hannity. Goodbye. Nice knowing you. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. So the judge talks about last evening a person identified as James J. Morrison, who claimed that he was a producer with NBC News and under the supervision of someone in New York for MSDNC. The police, when they followed him, stopped him because he was following in the distance of about a block, went through a red light, pulled him over, inquired of him why he was going on, and he gave information. He stated that he had been instructed by his supervisor in New York to follow the jury bus. Then he said, quote, I have instructed that no one from MSNBC News will be permitted in this building for a duration of this trial. Jonathan Turley writes this: the seriousness of this incident cannot be overstated, if true. It is not simply because the police thought MSDNC may have been trying to take their pictures. If the jurors believed they were being followed, let alone photographed, it could add to their unease about voting in the case. Now, Cortez Rice, a BLM activist in Minnesota, previously shown in a videotape, saying that jurors were being videotaped. Being followed can add an intimidating element for a jury in a city previously subject to extensive violence and rioting. The optics are particularly bad for NBC, given the network's criticism of the trial. Tiffany Cross, for example, an anchor, called for the judge's removal, called on a columnist to discuss the matter. The columnist stated earlier this month that white, non-college educated voters supported Republicans using their guns on black people and getting away with it. Not surprising, has written this trial off as a sham. And then, of course, Joy Reid. This may have a massive impact. On a calm October night, Michael and his wife, they were just out for a walk in their neighborhood when their life got flipped upside down, or just like yours could be. Now, Michael was attacked by a homeless woman who stabbed him multiple times before he was able to restrain her and waited for law enforcement to arrive. But what happens next is why our partners at the USCCA exist. Now, while Michael was in the hospital, a detective literally charged him with assault. Now, this is the new America that we're living in. Luckily, Michael was a USCCA member just like me. He used his training, his education, and his self-defense liability insurance to stay out of jail and save his family from potential bankruptcy. If you want to learn proven ways to deter criminals, defend your family, avoid legal trouble, just go to uscca.com/Hannity right now. You'll put in your email. You'll get a free guide put together by the USCCA and the former head of training for the FBI. Just go to uscca.com/Hannity today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now, nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter of a tank of gas if you're lucky. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you'll get unlimited talk and text, plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company. Now, you get the same quality service that you get from the big carriers, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, but you get it at half the cost. The average family saves close to $1,000 a year. And guess what? There's no activation fees and no contract to sign.
and they use the same cell towers and the same 5G network. Make the switch today, and if you do it today, you save an additional 50% off your first month. Anyway, this is a company that shares your values. They support our military and our veterans. And by the way, they don't advertise on fake news networks, thankfully. Go to the website, puretalk.com/Sean, S-E-A-N. Make the switch. It's simple. It's fast. It's easy. Just go to puretalk.com/Sean, that's Sean, S-E-A-N. Make the switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries.
All right, 25 to the top of the hour. Miranda Devine wrote a piece in the New York Post calling it the 10 debunked heinous lies of Kyle Rittenhouse. One, that he killed two black BLM protesters. No, all three of the men that he shot in self-defense, I think they made the case, and within the law of Wisconsin, during the violent riots in Kenosha, were all white. So that's not true. He crossed state lines. That's another lie. He lived 20 miles from Kenosha in Illinois, his mother and sisters, but his father, grandmother, aunt, uncle, cousins, and best friend live in Kenosha. He had a job as a lifeguard in Kenosha and worked a shift on August 25th before helping clean graffiti left by rioters at a local school. And there he and his friend were invited to join other adults who had been asked by the owners of a used car lot in Kenosha to guard the property after 100 cars had been torched the previous night when police abandoned the town to rioters. Remember the summer of 2020? Where's Liz Cheney's commission on that? Oh, that's right. It doesn't help purge Trump from the party. Sorry. So join forces with the people that call your father a liar, a murderer, a war criminal, and pretty much, you know, guilty of financial fraud. Anyway, so that was a lie, and Kyle took his gun to protect himself since the rioters were violent and armed, including, for instance, Antifa medic, the one that aimed the gun at him, the lead prosecution witness. Number three, Rittenhouse took an AR-15 across state lines. Esquire accused him of terrorist tourism. That's false because the rifle was kept in a safe at his best friend's stepfather's home in Kenosha. The gun was illegal. As we now know, that was wrong because under Wisconsin law, he was entitled to possess the weapon he had as a 17-year-old. The judge dismissed that charge, which the prosecution never should have brought. They could have actually measured the barrel because it would have been, he would have broken the law if it was a short barrel gun. It was not. Rittenhouse's mother drove him across the state lines to the riot. Well, I interviewed Wendy Rittenhouse, and she never went to Kenosha. She slept late the morning of August the 25th after working a 16-hour shift at a nursing home where she lives in Antioch, Illinois, and Kyle had already gone to his job in Kenosha when she woke up. Six, he was an active shooter who took his gun to a riot looking for trouble. Well, she says, quote, a 17-year-old kid just running around shooting and killing protesters, said Joe Scarborough, who drove across state lines with an AR-15 and started shooting people up on Friday after evidence in court already had been debunked in terms of Joe's talking points. Scarborough called Rittenhouse a self-appointed militia member unloading 60 rounds. When the defense called out the lie in closing arguments, Scarborough then had the gall to tweet that he was embarrassed for the lawyer. These people know. Remember, for example, the guy that the star witness for the prosecution that pointed a loaded gun at Rittenhouse before Rittenhouse fired at him. Remember, he only shot once and he only injured that guy. Anyway, number seven, he was a white supremacist, as Joe Biden labeled him in a tweet showing the teenager's photograph when the White House press secretary Jen Circleback Psaki, propagandist extraordinaire, was asked to explain why she recently, you know, slimed Rittenhouse again without naming him. Well, our general policies on vigilantes are, well, basically you're saying he's a vigilante. One story, The Intercept used the term white supremacist 16 times. The accusation has become, you know, used by so many. But I said, show me the evidence. Nobody's provided any. The FBI scoured his phone, found nothing about white supremacy or militias, and the court heard that. All they say were pro-police, Blue Lives Matter. That is not white supremacy. As a matter of fact, in many cities in America, you may not know it, but they have a majority-minority police force. Anyway, a kid who had been with the police and fire department, a cadet wanted to be a police officer, paramedic, once sat near the front of a Trump rally. That was enough to brand him a white supremacist. He flashed white power signs with members of the group, the Proud Boys. I still don't even know what this group is. Anyway, but after spending 3 months in jail, Kyle was freed on $2 million bail after his 18th birthday last year and went to a bar for a beer with his mother and other adults, which is legal in Wisconsin. He posed for selfies with strangers at the bar who the media say are part of this group, the Proud Boys, pictured making the OK sign with his thumb and forefinger. By the way, I put my thumb up a lot. Is that a bad sign? Am I not allowed to go thumbs up? I better stop doing that. You know, when people send you a tweet, you send a thumbs up. Got it. Anyway, that was false again. And it comes from a 2017 hoax on the website 4chan to punk liberals who keep falling for it. Biden uses the gesture frequently himself. She says it's unwise to pose for photo, but it, you know how many people I took photographs with last night that I don't know a single thing. I don't know one thing about them.
Hannity was this morning, just trying to get here.
Unbelievable. He wore surgical gloves to cover his fingerprints. Well, the purveyor of that information, some guy, Matthew Modine or something, and another celebrity. Anyway, Kyle wore gloves because he was giving first aid to protesters, which even the prosecutors noted, but they mocked it. Oh, he put a Band-Aid on somebody. And the judge is a Trumpy racist bias towards the defense. Well, that's not true. It's, you know, the fact that he would not let the prosecution use the term victim. That's a common practice when the jury has not ruled on a case. And it's ridiculous. The judge in this case is a Democrat, has run as a Democrat for the Wisconsin Senate, was first appointed by a Democratic governor. Oh, excuse me. I hate to break your lying narrative. Anyway, so we're in the middle of day three. We don't know which way this is going to, how this is all going to play out, but we shall find out. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. You want to be a part of the program. I'll tell you, there's a lot happening in the political world. A lot of stories now emerging. Democrats question whether Biden will actually run in 2024. You know, the news yesterday was not good for Joe Biden, as now the now we have almost a majority of the American people seeing him as a cognitive mess. Gee, it took people, 10 months? We were saying it before the election. And nobody had the courage. Very few people were willing to say what I was saying. But it was obvious. Everybody told me behind the scenes they saw it, but I just spoke publicly on it. I'll play this later in the program. This ongoing battle where the White House seems to be putting all the blame on Kamala Harris. New poll out, all-time low Joe at 36%. Harris at a whopping 28%. She says she doesn't believe she's being underused. We're getting things done. No, they are getting things done. They're emboldening China to take over Taiwan, Russia to take over Ukraine or parts of Ukraine. They've brought us now a disaster at the border, more dead people from COVID in 2021 than 2020. They brought us inflation. They can point to that. And, yep, the highest energy prices in a decade and inflation, a 31-year record. Anyway, she repeats the lie that Build Back Better, New Green Deal socialism will reduce inflation and it won't cost a single penny. She blames the broken immigration system for her failure at the border. Well, I thought you were supposed to fix it, Madam Border Czar. Give me a break. Plays coy about the payments to illegal immigrants. Remember, Joe didn't know about it, but now he's the biggest advocate of it. People that don't respect our laws, sovereignty, and borders. Unbelievable. Even one Texas Democrat is calling for a new border czar. Henry Cuellar has given up on trying to work with Kamala Harris. She's done nothing. It's a New York Post column out yesterday. Kamala Harris is a very weird person. You know, every time she opens her mouth, people are wondering, what planet are you from? It's pretty clear from everyone in the White House that they hate her, blaming leaking to every reporter around in the hopes of emerging from this explosion in this stink bomb factory without carrying any failure fragrance. That's actually well written. Very, very entertaining. But can Biden run? Jen Psaki's weighed in on this. You know, now the answer is they're claiming racism and sexism are what's driving the criticism and the low poll numbers of Kamala Harris. How predictable is that? Now they're even suggesting that, Joe likes Buttigieg now better because Mayor Pete, got the infrastructure money. Then we got this report on this Saul Amarova. Apparently was involved in retail theft. She stole money from a TJ. She stole items from a TJ Maxx. There's a great candidate for you. Biden in New Hampshire. How do I cross the bridge in a snowstorm? What if there's a fire on the other side? It is getting so bad. Now Merrick Garland has become an issue based on the fact that it appears his October testimony, as I mentioned yesterday, he lied in as it relates to the memo on moms and dads at school board meetings being labeled domestic terrorists. I forgot to mention that the Moscow State University confirms they destroyed the only copy of Saul Amarova's dissertation on Marxism ahead of the confirmation hearing to be Biden's comptroller of currency. Whatever was in there wasn't good. Would have disqualified her. You know what that means? She needs to be disqualified. Anyway, we'll play some of the interview with Georgi Stephanopoulos later in the program today. The economy's not good, and Joe is actually blaming record high energy prices. Now, remember, OPEC has rejected him and rejected him again and rejected him again. And I mean, it's like you want to ask a girl out on a date or I'll take her to a dance. How many times when she says no, do you get the message no means no on going out on a date or going to a dance or a prom or whatever it happens to be? Joe has begged OPEC. Now he's blaming high energy prices on oil companies and calling for an investigation, like the clip we had from the campaign where he wants to go after the CEOs and put these guys in jail if you're part of an energy company. No, Joe, the reason that we have high prices in energy is because you abandoned the successful Trump policies, $2 a gallon. And, now we're paying $1.50 more a gallon, Joe, because of your policies on oil, gas and coal. And if you return to the Trump policies, guess what? We'll do a lot better. But the real fear that has emerged for Democrats now is the CBO scoring this either $3.5 trillion, $1.75 trillion, new Green Deal, socialism, Build Back Better plan, because they know damn well that the CBO is going to say, yeah, it doesn't cost zero. By the way, the reconciliation bill gives a big amount of money to big media. Why not? I mean, they pay back unions, the teachers' unions, labor unions. Why not pay back the media mob for all the good work they did in helping Joe Biden in the candidate protection program leading up to the election? Schumer is saying massive spending will create more jobs and fight inflation. No, just the opposite, Chucky. Just the opposite. House scheduled suggests Thursday debate for massive social spending bill. Remember, Nancy Pelosi will not have a vote if she doesn't have the vote, will not hold a vote, call for a vote if she doesn't have the votes. New York Times contributor says inflation panic is driven by rich people flipping their beep over devalued assets. Oh, I guess all the money that you work for, saved and earned, you might want to keep it. Now inflation is impacting the U.S. readiness for war, according to Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. That's how bad this is impacting everybody. CNN is being called out for mocking working class Americans, just like MSDNC. Humpty Dumpty is now facing heat for mocking people that vocalize their concerns about the supply chain and other economic problems. It's pretty unbelievable. Caption essentially stated that there's an amazing and overflowing supply of groceries despite all the talk of the supply chain crisis. That's like the Biden administration. Well, you might not get to choose from 15 colors, but You'll get one. You should be able to find something. Why did we never had a supply chain crisis before? They created this. Biden's energy secretary, I'll play it later, is in a video from 2018 singing about ending gasoline. The same lady that's blaming OPEC and the cartel for the shortage. They caused all of this. They caused Afghanistan. They caused they did a horrible job with COVID. They caused Biden inflation and the bad economy, the high cost of energy, the disaster at the border. That's all because of these are all self-inflicted wounds, political wounds, and it's all fixable. But it's going to take some bold thinking on their part. Go back to the Trump policies that actually worked at the border. Go back to the Trump energy independence policies. Go back to low taxes and limited bureaucracy of the Trump era, and you'll do a lot better. That's the last thing they'll do.
More Than a Movie is back with season two. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.